Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
FM Talk Podcast.
The Mark Cox Morning Show is live from the Missouri Capitol, sponsored by Golden Oak Lending, where homeowners get cash in as little as 14 days.
Good morning to you. Here we are live down in Jefferson City this morning. Carl Middleman and I down here. Of course, Kim St. Ange and Ethan back in the studio there in St. Louis. And all of this brought to you courtesy of our friends over at Golden Oak Lending, who sponsored our trip to the Capitol this year. You know, it's become a tradition for us to get down here.
12 years now.
First day of session. It's been a long time.
Been down here for 12 years.
Yes, because what we do with local radio is important. It's not all about what's going on nationally. You have to keep people informed on what their legislature and legislators are working on, and this is a day when we can kind of get some insight on that. We'll get the governor, lieutenant governor, the attorney general, a senator, a state representative. We're going to get them on the air today talking about what the priorities are, what bills they think might have a chance this year. And it's not a long session. So it's January 8th. The session ends, I think it's May 16th. Don't hold me to that. I've got it here somewhere. But by late May, they'll be done. And we know what happens every year, right? It's like Groundhog Day. What happens every year is they get to about 2 weeks left in the session, and there are two or three big issues they haven't gotten to yet. So what will those issues be this year? Will it be tax cuts? Is it guy? I don't know. That could be high on their list somewhere, I'm told. At least reducing the income tax. Some gun issues, removing some prohibitions on guns in the state. Those are just a few of the bills that are kind of pending down here. So we got down here last night. Carl and I went out, had dinner, had a nice dinner down here.
Don't say what you did.
Had a big place called Big Whiskey. What did I do, Carl? I don't know what you're talking about.
You yelled at the TV for 2 hours.
I was watching the Kentucky game, and they lost to stinking Georgia, Kim. I know you're bummed about that.
I'm so bummed. Thoughts and prayers.
How did Mizzou do last night? They played.
They were winning.
Did I report on that?
She's having to Google
it. I did.
I reported on it.
I'm looking at my script. They beat LSU 83-67. I did not watch that game. I've not been keeping up too much, to be honest, with Mizzou basketball.
Oh, there were so many people in the bar that were upset because the SEC network wouldn't go to the Mizzou game until the Kentucky game was over.
That doesn't surprise me. Mizzou seems promising, and then they flame out at the very end, and it's depressing.
It's a tough league. It's a tough league this year. Ask Ackerman. He'll tell you.
SEC's got, what, 6 in the top 10?
So Carl and I went out last night and had a good dinner, and then we went over to a little establishment here. It's sort of a private kind of establishment up here on High Street, I think it is, and got to talk to some state senators who happened to be in there, and Scott Fawn, who runs a – you know, a newspaper down here. The Missouri Times, and he does his own TV show. And we got a little insight, I think, into the speaker's race. Obviously, we've been talking about the fact that John Patterson was basically given the nod months ago by the state legislators, and our friend Justin Sparks has thrown his name into the ring much more recently and has been getting a lot of grassroots support from around the state. But really, in talking to folks down here, you realize how much of a long shot that's going to be. Now, we're going to get Justin on the air this morning in the 8 o'clock hour. He is also driving down to Jeff City today because, again, the session gets underway at noon. But, you know, as it was kind of described to me, a little inside baseball down here, those decisions are made early. One guy told me last night, not because of this being the swamp, this is his description of it, but because they determined a long time ago, dating back to when Catherine Hanaway was the speaker in Missouri, that the person in that position who's going to be in leadership needs to be the person that has been out knocking on doors and raising money for other candidates around the state. And by giving somebody the nod early, it allows them to go out and do those things in advance. And in return for doing that, if you've gone and knocked doors with somebody that he claims that when it's 85 degrees outside or 90, you earn their trust, and in many ways you probably earn their vote for speaker. So as it was described to me last night, that is the reason that the Justin Sparks bid will probably fail.
That's sad. That's pathetic. That's sad. Well, that you're basically bought and paid for, that it's not about who would make a better speaker for the House. It's who's willing to go out in the hot weather and not knock on doors for you and help you raise money. That's really sad to me.
I agree with what you're saying to an extent. I'm just telling you as it was described to me.
I think the point was he was too late.
Yeah,
well, right.
I heard that argument. He should have gotten involved in that, you know, 6, 8, 10 months ago and been more active like Patterson has been in helping some of these other legislators either raise money or campaign in the last election cycle. And the fact that he didn't do that, they think, is probably one reason why he's seen as such a long shot when they have that vote later today.
It all goes back to money. You follow the money and that tells you where things are standing right now. I mean, that's just how it is. So
that's politics.
Yeah.
That's politics. Carl, I don't know how to take this comment by Mama Kay here on the feed this morning. I love how Mark and Carl are like twins or an old married couple.
Aww.
What do you think about that?
That's cute, you guys.
Are we dressed alike?
I don't know what she's referring to, or we're just, I don't know. I'll have to ask her about that later as I'm reading the comments this morning. Also, Kim, earlier when I was praising Rush Limbaugh and I made the reference to having something tied behind his back, it was half his brain. I guess half of my brain is missing this morning because there's no coffee available to us down here.
The guy's supposed to be here now.
He's not here, and I had to go to the vending machine and actually get like this iced coffee stuff, which I'm not a fan of, just to get a little bit of caffeine in me.
Don't look how much sugar is in that. You'll be depressed.
All of the Rush Limbaugh fans. Yeah, me and RFK are going to be reading the label, not. I just needed the caffeine. I didn't care what was in it. And Carl convinced me, I guess Lisa's right about this. Carl convinced me that I did not need to put a Monster energy drink in myself this morning because that's not good for you either.
That'll just make you colder. It is 7 degrees here in Jefferson City, so you guys are 10 degrees warmer in the city. So
how about that? And it's also about 60 degrees in the rotunda right now, from what I can tell.
Anything below 32 is just miserable, though.
Ethan, why don't we get to the shortlist real quick, please?
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Income tax is just punishing somebody for having a job and going out and making money. And so that's why we would really like to see the income tax cut.
Yeah, Tony Lutkemeyer there, who's going to be a senator this year as well, he is talking about, you know, there are people that want to eliminate the state income tax in Missouri. It's a brilliant idea. The other states that have done it, their economies are flourishing. But they're going to have to phase it in probably and replace it with something else, like a sales tax, right? Because the money is going to have to come from somewhere.
there's a lot of talk about Greenland, for example. Now, and I know there's a lot of freakouts, you know, and of course I would never support taking it by force. But I do think it's I do think it's a responsible conversation if they were open to acquiring it.
John Fetterman yesterday, Donald Trump has set the world on fire with his comments about Greenland. He's got Michael, who calls in the show all the time, all upset this morning because they asked him if he would consider military, using the military, like we're going to invade Greenland. That's just not going to happen.
We do have people that are hostages being held. And I'll just say it again. If this deal's not done with the people representing our nation, by the time I get to office, all hell is going to break out.
Now, that's what I love. That's what I love. And I love the fact that Donald Trump is just telling them right now, just like Iran knew when Ronald Reagan was coming into office, if you don't release those hostages before I become president, all hell is going to break loose.
As far as releasing the terrorists, I don't know how we undo that, but I think it's a bad decision personally. I think it's a terrible decision. And why now?
Yeah, could not agree more with Tom Homan there that we're letting terrorists who want to kill and have killed Americans go free from Guantanamo Bay, which is the ideal place for us to hold them forever. I just don't get that. All right, time for us to take a quick break. As you can hear from the echo down here, we're live in the Capitol Rotunda down in Jefferson City for the first day of the Missouri legislative session. What does that hold? We're going to talk to the incoming Lieutenant Governor, David Wassinger, coming up here at about 6:35. We will be right back.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Happy to be here today in the State Capitol building where we've been talking to legislators, some of them last night. We'll talk to more of them throughout the show this morning, talking about what you do in this legislative session, what the priorities are, what actually makes it in this, which is why leadership is so important down here, right? What actually makes it to committee? Like, for example, this is Senate Bill 146, which has been introduced by Mayor Elizabeth Coleman, Senator Coleman, right? And it's pretty simple. It's two sentences. I'm going to read them to you. This is the bill summary. Current law imposes an income tax on all Missouri taxable income for all tax years beginning on or after January 1st, 2026. This act eliminates the Missouri individual income tax, period. Sound like a winner, Kim?
Well, I'd like the income tax to be abolished. I mean, do we actually think that will happen? I don't know, because the question is, how do they make up that money? Because like you said earlier, they've come to rely on it.
So I believe, and don't quote me on this. I listened to Art Laffer when he was in town for the Show Me Institute give a speech about this, and I think there are maybe 8 or 10 states right now that do not have an income tax. Some of them eliminated it some time ago, others more recently. But the important thing about that is that the economy in those states are flourishing, right? Because people have more of their own money to spend. And in most of those states, as you can imagine, they've made that up through a sales tax. So in other words, it's a use tax. It's not based, it doesn't discriminate on how much money you make. It eliminates that. So look at Florida. I mean, Florida thrives on that. I believe Tennessee is another state where they have no state income tax. And the Laffer curve is a theory that said that there is a a tax rate between 0 and 100% that will maximize tax revenue. So basically his point is that the more money people get to keep, the more money they're going to spend, and that states without an income tax have economies that outperform the rest of the country. And he's absolutely right. He's been proven right over and over again, in my opinion, particularly in these states now. But you have to make that money up. It's like claiming you're going to get rid of the personal property tax, which was a big issue last year, I know, during the gubernatorial race, because Senator Bill Igel was running for governor, and that to him, that was one of his priorities. I'm sure it'll be brought up again this session, but the minute you bring it up, you get the people who are addicted. Let's face it, tax revenue is their crack cocaine. These bureaucrats who have to have more of your money to do what they want to do with it. These are people, Republicans and Democrats, who are all convinced they know how to spend your money better than you do, and you need to give that up for the public good. And I know I'm preaching to the choir for many of the people in my listening audience, but that's what the discussion is going to be down mm-hmm. here.
Well, Cindy on Facebook.
Honestly, I would be happier to eliminate the income tax than the personal property tax. I mean, it's a hassle every year to write that check in December, but it pales in comparison to how much you pay in state income tax.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm irritated by both. Cindy on Facebook, I know Cindy, good morning. She was talking about how we need a Doge team in Missouri, because think about all the wasteful spending that Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy have already uncovered in the federal government. All these dumb programs that we've been wasting millions and millions of dollars on. I'll guarantee there's plenty of that happening here in Missouri. All this stuff we don't even realize our tax dollars are going toward, it's just completely unnecessary. So True. If we cut a lot of that junk, the unnecessary nonsense, I think we'd be able to make up a lot of that. And then, like you said, if you had the sales tax, that's another way to make up some of that lost income for the
state.
It'll
be interesting to see. And I'm looking at the clock here. Ethan, can you give me an indication how much time we have here? I don't want to run over again. All right. I'm just looking here. So it'll be interesting to see what that conversation is. We're going to get the governor in here, Governor-elect Kehoe, in the 7 o'clock hour. We're going to get the lieutenant governor on here in just a few minutes. I'm anxious to know their approach on it. How do they prioritize it? And that's kind of going to be my line of questioning to him this morning is I know that Mike Kehoe is going to be hesitant to be critical of Mike Parson, because Parson appointed him lieutenant governor when he was first announced. But at the end of the day, are you going to be a more active governor than Mike Parson? I like Mike Parson. If you've met the guy, it's hard not to like him. But when I look at his leadership down here when it comes to the legislature, I didn't see a lot of that. And I want to know what they're going to do on these issues. If you're serious about it, are you going to be over here knocking on doors and shaking hands when it comes time to get these things pushed through? So we do have Lieutenant Governor David Wassinger. He's going to join us on the phone as he's making his own drive down here to Jeff City this morning. We're live thanks to our friends from Golden Oak Lending, and we're going to be back live in the Capitol Rotunda in just a few minutes. We are live in the Capitol Rotunda, and just a quick shout out to whoever just opened up the door and started the coffee on the House side over here. Because Carl and I have been dying on the vine for the last hour and a half, and somebody walked in a minute ago, and we now have hot coffee. So that's a good thing. A little chilly in here in the rotunda. This is a huge, huge area in the Capitol. Beautiful. If you've never been down here, you need to try to get here. And somebody who will be here just in a couple of hours, in fact, the incoming Lieutenant Governor is David Wassinger. He's driving down here even as we speak. And Mr. Lieutenant Governor-elect, good morning to you. How are you?
Hey, Mark and Kim, how are you? I'm doing great. We get sworn in on Monday, so I won't be the official lieutenant governor until 11:30 or noon on Monday, but I hope you and Kim can make the inauguration, and your listeners are all invited to my inauguration on along with Governor Kehoe and the rest of the statewide officials on Monday. And then we'll have an open house. I wanted to announce to your listeners at the lieutenant governor's office at 1 o'clock on this upcoming Monday. So I invite you and all your listeners to attend the inauguration. And please come over to the open house at the lieutenant governor's office, because you and Kim and the rest of your listeners got me elected lieutenant governor. And I want to say thank you in person. So please make it over to Jeff City on Monday.
Well, thank you for saying that. I appreciate that. Kim will not be able to attend because I'll be attending. So she's going to be doing the morning show that morning so that I could come down to Jeff City and attend the inauguration and then hang out with you for a little while.
That'd be great. Find a good place where we can smoke a victory cigar or something within a confines. Because you know I'm an outsider to Jeff City, so I don't know the confines of Jeff City. So so I need somebody to lead me by the hand and find some place to celebrate. My guess it was not being the Missouri State Capitol. There's a but I'm running as you know I'm an outsider and I do not know Jefferson City. So I'm gonna need to some guidance. So I hope you're learning some rules of the road there in Jeff City today.
Yeah, well, you know, I did, Carl, and I did go out and socialize a little bit last night, and basically what I learned is not much has changed down here since I was here a year ago, and I think that it's still very much an insider network determining who gets things done and who doesn't. So that, which begs the question, you've been Lieutenant Governor-elect for a while now. I know that you've been down here meeting people. What's the real impact you hope to have? Because, you know, it's been a while since we've had a lieutenant governor who's influenced things in a way that made a difference down here.
Well, I think, Mark, it's been generations since a lieutenant governor has been elected who's an outsider, who's not come within the confines of the Missouri Senate. It literally generations. So I truly am an outsider, which is unusual. I think your listeners and you and others want change in Jefferson City. And as part of that change, they elected me lieutenant governor, and I intend on implementing and bringing forth that change. And part of that is I've come in, I have to know, I obviously don't know a lot of these Missouri state senators. I'm going to be meeting coming in today. I'm actually going to be sitting up on the dais with current lieutenant governor, soon to be governor, Mike Kehoe. So I will be up on the dais with him as the, you know, these senators get sworn in. I'll be in the Senate chambers with Governor-elect Kehoe. And after that, I intend on meeting some of these senators. So I'm truly an outsider who needs to meet some of these senators. And what I've learned in running my own business, Mark, is, and I've learned this in the short time I've been lieutenant-elect, you walk in and you look from an outsider perspective, why in the world are we doing this? And sometimes there's a good or explanation as to why, you know, whether it's a Senate rule or you're doing something. But other times you hear the response, just because we've always done it that way. Okay. Well, why have you always done it that way? I don't know. We've just all, okay. Well, I hate that answer, you know, because we've always done it that way. If there's a reason or why we've always done it that way, great. But just the answer that we've done it that way. So I think I bring an outsider perspective where you walk in and you kind of look at this thing from ground zero, a fresh perspective as to why this Jefferson City is operating this way, why they're not getting anything done. I look forward to bringing that in and talking to your listeners as this progresses.
So, you know, Cindy O'Loughlin obviously is the Senate pro tem, and I believe Tony Lutkemeyer is second in command. They're going to set the agenda. As lieutenant governor, do you have any authority? What authority do you have over the Senate? I mean, how can you walk in there and maybe encourage them a little bit as to which legislation should be a priority this year?
Well, as part of my responsibilities as lieutenant governor, I serve as president of the Senate. So to the extent I want to serve up on the dais and basically serve as an umpire or referee this game, that is my sole prerogative. In other words, if I wanted to sit up on the dais with a gavel, that gavel needs to be handed over to the lieutenant governor, whether it's me or someone else. That is the Missouri Constitution. So as a directive, and you know, frankly, right now, a lot of the state senators have reached out to me. I think they would like to establish a relationship and getting along for the most part with them. But we'll find out if the Senate leadership, falls apart. I'll be, I'm an outsider. I'm not emboldened to any of these lobbyists or special interests. I will be the first one to call them out if we're not getting the job done.
We talk about on the federal level how the big priorities would be the border, closing the border, and the economy. So on the state level, what would you see as maybe number one priority that you'd like to see lawmakers tackle?
Well, you can't lose sight of what some people mentioned, various topics. The two biggest issues that you hear on the campaign trail and that got me elected is illegal immigration, and you would also hear about tax relief. And that includes both personal property tax relief and income tax relief. And that spurs the economy. So those two issues need to be addressed. I think it's going to be far easier to address this immigration issue now that we have President Trump having been elected to office. I think we will, the state of Missouri and other states will work hand in glove with President Trump to boot these illegals out of this country and out of the state of Missouri. That's going to spur tourism. That will help with our crime. So that's going to be a big issue. We can't lose sight that if you look back at the campaign commercials that were run by every candidate running for statewide office, illegal immigration was in almost every candidate's campaign commercial. We can't lose sight that that is the biggest concern of Missourians. So I think that illegal immigration, we need to work with President Trump and boot these illegals out of the state of Missouri.
Yeah, and what do you, well, I mean, if you were a betting man, we're talking to incoming Lieutenant Governor David Wassinger. If you were a betting man, do you think we can begin a phase out of the state income tax? Because obviously we have to come up with some way to replace that. I'm assuming that's some sort of a general sales tax of some sort. But you'd kind of have to plan for it. It's going to take a couple of years, right?
I think that's right. But I think we've got some momentum. I believe Governor Colette Kehoe, that's real high on his priority list of is phasing out the income tax. I'm strongly in favor of that. I think the Senate majority, Senate leadership, as I understand it, is in favor of that. And if you look at the common denominator, and I think you've mentioned this, Mark, in the past, is you look at Florida, Texas, these states with no income tax, they're high growth states. Yes. And the common denominator seems to be no income tax.
Yeah, well, I mean, I mentioned earlier, I heard Art Laffer talking about that just recently, and he served in the Reagan administration, so he's pretty famous for his Laffer curve, and he's a big proponent of this, I know, and I know that he's spoken to Mike Kehoe about it, so hopefully when we get the incoming governor on a little later, I think in the next hour at about this time an hour from now, we're gonna talk to Mike Kehoe, and we'll see how serious he is about attacking all of that. David Wassinger, thank you. Congratulations on your election, and we're excited to see what you can help get done down here.
All right. Thank you, Mark, for your support, and thank you for your listener support, and I look forward to seeing you in Jeff City.
Yes, sir. We'll see you shortly.
Right.
We appreciate that.
Take care. All right. Okay,
all right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Yeah, appreciate that. Yeah, he's on his way down here this morning, driving down. The roads are great, which is the good news, but it is cold out there, baby. Carl, what did you say it was earlier? 5 or 6 here?
7.
7. Oh, it's 7 degrees here. So
hey, it's gotten warmer. It's 8 now.
And it's about 59 out here in the rotunda right now. I can tell you that. That's for sure. All right, we're going to get to a quick break here. We're going to be back with In Other News with Ethan and Kim here in a couple of minutes, and then of course we're going to get to the Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey is going to come by and pay us a visit right at the top of the next hour live in Jeff City, courtesy of our friends over at Golden Oak Lending. We'll be right back.
Mark Cox is live from Jefferson City, sponsored by Golden Oak Lending, where homeowners get cash in as little as 14 days.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news,
some sad news to pass along. Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary has died at the age of 86. Yarrow co-wrote the song you just heard, Puff the Magic Dragon. Peter, Paul, and Mary released 6 Billboard Top 10 singles, 2 number one albums, and then won 5 Grammys. Turns out Yarrow had been battling bladder cancer for the last 4 years.
Kim, I think I can safely say this for the older people speaking here on the show this morning. You will never appreciate that song like we do, because there was actually a TV show about Puff the Magic Dragon, and as a kid growing up, I never knew that the song was in reference to drugs.
But they always said it was a kid's song.
They claimed that it wasn't, but clearly Peter, Paul, and Mary did that song during the height of the '60s.
So he was nominated for an Emmy, I think, for the for that show. Yeah,
for the show. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah,
their biggest song was leaving on a jet plane, which is John Denver's
song. Before Barney the Dinosaur was a thing, Puff the Magic Dragon was a thing, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I can't tell you. I mean, I'm familiar with some of the songs. Obviously, we all know Puff the Magic Dragon. I know of Peter, Paul, and Mary from my parents, to be honest, but it wasn't like I grew up. This is just not my generation, right?
No, you know, leaving on a jet plane.
I do know of that song. Yeah.
That was a number one hit for them.
You guys have probably seen video of this. This is just sad. Three major wildfires are burning right now near Los Angeles. Close to 50,000 people have been evacuated. Homes have been burning up. More than 4,000 acres have already burned, and the fires are not slowing down. In fact, if anything, the wind's picking up, so they're thinking the fire is going to spread even more. The fires were sparked by a combination of dry conditions, which we know is obviously a problem in California, and the powerful winds. And I think I heard 60-mile-per-hour winds were expected between now and tomorrow. So these are just going to be out of control. 0% contained right now.
Zero?
That's what I saw.
So didn't you say there were some major events that were being delayed?
Yeah, there were going to be some movie premieres.
The SAG
was all canceled.
They were supposed to, the Screen Actors Guild was supposed to announce its nominations, I thought, today at an event, and they had to cancel it, and instead they're going to send them out in a press release.
Oh.
Instead.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there was like the Robbie Williams movie Monkey Man, which looks horrible. They were going to have a premiere of that, and they canceled that too.
It's really sad. The videos. In fact, I'm watching right now on Fox News some of that video, and it's just
awful.
Yeah,
they've had nonstop coverage today.
Well, you just think about all the people who actually live there. It's easy for us to distance ourselves from it, but you just imagine the people who've lived there for how many decades, and they're watching their home burn up. So.
Well, normally they name these wildfires after the street they start. But this one's just called the Palisades Fire because it's so big and they can't say exactly where it started.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't know that. All right, this is a more upbeat story. It is the beginning for Girl Scout cookie season. And the Girl Scouts, this is some bad news, though. They've announced that the s'mores and the Toast Yay cookies will be discontinued after this year. So the s'mores cookie, I think that one's pretty popular. That one debuted in 2017. And then the French toast-inspired cookie, which is the Toast Yay, that rolled out in 2021. Girl Scout cookies, they'll start being sold at booths starting this week and then online on February 21st. Mm. Now, the price per box, they're saying this year, is expected to be between $4 and $7.
Between? So it varies?
I guess Illinois and Missouri.
It depends on the cookie, too, though.
Well, pay a lot for a box of s'mores.
Thin Mints.
I'm sorry. No. Samoa. I said s'mores.
Samoa is one of my favorites.
Yep. That's the coconut one.
Yeah. Or Thin Mints, and you put them in the freezer?
Yep.
I had a sleeve of Thin Mints last week.
A whole sleeve?
That were in the freezer.
I know a lot of people that won't buy them anymore because they went so woke, but
right.
I don't know. If I see them outside of a Walgreens or something, I'm still likely
to
pick up a box.
Yeah, I mean, I do agree that I don't really back the Girl Scouts in general. I don't like what they stand for, but the cute girls who come to your door, I want to support them.
It's hard to say no.
So this is cool. Cinemark Theaters is offering a pretty neat deal for moviegoers who love snacking on popcorn, which obviously we all do. The chain will allow you to bring in your own container on January 19th, which I guess is National Popcorn Day, and employees will fill it with popcorn for $5. So this can be pretty big. They're saying it's equivalent to two extra large popcorn sizes, which is about 400 ounces.
You can't get anything at a theater for $5. You can't get a bag of M&Ms for $5. That's a great deal.
I know.
Especially when I roll up with a trash can.
I'd like this filled, please. There is a limit.
What's the health department think about the fact that you can just bring in anything you want and fill it up with popcorn?
Ethan,
you
know, I'm pretty sure they said extremes. 400 ounces. Uh-oh. I don't think your bin's going to work, but you'd let us know if you try.
I see how it is.
Okay, yeah, this is also some good news. After countless requests over the years, Lay's is bringing back a popular flavor chip to the United States. They're called the All Dressed Chips. They've been in Canada for years, and it's apparently the company's most requested flavor. It's a combination between barbecue, salt and vinegar, and then sour cream and onion all-in-one chip. So these all-dressed chips will be available nationwide starting January 12th, so next week.
Never heard of them, but I would try them.
It sounds kind of good.
Weird chips.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
But apparently people are obsessed with them.
All right, thank you, Kim. Appreciate that. All right, coming up next hour, it's going to be a big one. We got the incoming governor of the state of Missouri, Mike Kehoe, the attorney general, Andrew Bailey, the secretary of state, Denny Hoskins, all on the Mark Cox Morning Show live from Jefferson City when we come back.
Get more at 971talk.com.